In Isaiah chapter 26, I'm sorry, chapter 28, in verse 16, there we read, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a pure, sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Here Isaiah speaks about something that is precious, a precious cornerstone, a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ, upon whom the church is built, something that is very precious. You know, what is the word precious? What does that mean to you? You know, something that is precious is something that is of a great price or worth, something that is cherished, something that is highly esteemed. To me, it carries the idea of something that is irreplaceable. Something is precious, not necessarily because of its intrinsic value, but something is precious because it cannot be replaced. You know, my wife and children are precious to me. I would not want to even think about life without them. If our house burned down with all of our precious things that we own, all of our possessions, but my children and wife and I walked out safely, I'd be the happiest man alive, because those things can be replaced. Stuff can be replaced, but not my family, not my children, not my wife. They're precious to me. They're very precious. You know, the Bible defines the word precious in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word. According to Vine's Old Testament dictionary, the word means precious, rare, excellent, weighty, or noble. The word here that Isaiah uses has those meanings. The first word means precious in the sense of being rare and valuable. Second, the word can focus on the value of a thing. Third, this word means weighty or noble. In the New Testament, the various words that are translated precious in the King James and the New King James, generally speaking, each refers to something that is costly or something that is held in high honor or high esteem. In the books of 1 and 2 Peter is where we're going to spend most of our time here. And I'd kind of intended this to go before our class on Sunday or this morning, but unfortunately I was waylaid by the flu bug. But we're going to look at some things that Peter uses and he calls precious. Seven times in the two books written by Peter, we find the word precious. Seven things that are considered to be precious. And so the first one I want us to observe is kind of referring to what Isaiah spoke about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. We see precious Jesus. It says there unto you, 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." He says that Jesus is precious. You know, the preciousness of Christ and the believers is what he's referring to. The honor and inestimable value of Christ as appropriated by believers who are joined as living stones to him who is the cornerstone. And so he is precious. He is worthy of honor and great esteem because of who he is and what he has done. You know, he is precious because of who he is. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 11, the Lord spoke from heaven, and there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He is the Son of God. That is why Jesus is precious. That's why he is worthy of great estimation, because he is of God, the Son of God. Jesus is precious because of what he has done. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. says here, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And so he has given himself for us. He is precious because of what he's done. He is precious because of where he now is. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he says there, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so Christ is precious. Jesus is precious. He is of great value and of great esteem. Also, notice that Peter speaks about precious blood, the precious blood of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. He says, therefore, or wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope for the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, Jesus' blood is precious. The word translated precious here means honor or price. It signifies a primarily accounted as of a great price that is precious or costly. You think about what it cost Christ to shed his blood. It was precious to him. His blood was precious to him. He did not want to shed it for his own benefits. In Matthew 26 and verse 39, as he is in the garden, as he has gone with Peter, James, and John, and he's left them and he's gone a little farther on, and it says that he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That cup that he was about to suffer, that blood offering he was about to make, his life he was about to offer. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not after I will, but what you will. And so it was precious to him. He didn't give it up lightly. It was precious to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, there it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. You think about all that connected with the Passover in the Old Testament, how the angel of the Lord came upon the Egyptians, came upon everyone in the land of Egypt, and took the firstborn of every household, except for those Israelites that had taken the blood of that precious lamb and had placed it upon the lintels of the door. They were delivered from that angel of death, and they were delivered out of Egyptian bondage because of that. And so when it speaks of Christ as the Passover of God, he is our Passover today. We think about how precious that blood is and what it has done for us. It has delivered us from bondage to sin. It has protected us from physical or spiritual death. It's precious. It should be precious to us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You think about that. We sometimes were far away from God, separated by our sin from God, and yet through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are brought to Him. We are made nigh. We're brought nigh by the blood of Christ. It is precious blood. As we go back to the books of 1 and 2 Peter, and we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, we see again that precious stone. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders have disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Again, that word precious, talking about the cornerstone, is precious. It's held in honor, held high in honor. You know, it is a living stone. Christ is a living stone. He is not dead. He is not in the grave still. He arose on the third day. He ascended back to the Father. He is still there reigning at the right hand of God. He is our cornerstone. Look with me over in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. It says here, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That precious stone is the only thing that can save us, the only name by which we can be saved. He is precious. He is a foundation stone. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is that cornerstone, that precious cornerstone upon which salvation is built, upon which the church is built. And there is no other foundation whereby we can be saved other than Christ. We also look in 1 Peter chapter 1 about a precious faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 9. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, that it be tried with fire, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Notice here, he talks about our faith being more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire. You know, our faith is precious. Again, the word means honor or price. You know, something accounted of great price, something that's pricely, some are precious or costly. And so our faith is precious. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter said here, Simon Peter, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so that faith that's like precious that we share together, it is precious. It is precious because of its importance in salvation. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we read, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, that faith is precious because without it we cannot be saved. It is precious because of its object, which is Jesus the Christ. 1 Peter 1 verses 20 and 21 says of Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And so our faith is precious, because without it we cannot be saved. Without it, there is no hope of heaven. It is precious because it is our faith in God, our faith in Christ, who are precious. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 1 through 6, we read about the precious spirits. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The New King James translates that, which is says very precious in the sight of God. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazements. And so it is very precious in the sight of God. An incorruptible spirit, a holy attitude. You know, it is incorruptible beauty. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, we're talking about that gentle and quiet spirit. We read about it also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. It says here, but touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. And so this precious spirit, you know, we're called to be gentle and quiet in spirit. We're called to have that incorruptible beauty on the inside that is not necessarily on the outside. You know, a precious spirit is precious in God's sight. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, if you'll remember, Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king, and the sons of Jesse came before him, and he kept looking at one and then the other and thinking, this one surely must be the one that God has appointed, because he's tall and he's dark and he's strong and he's handsome. But notice verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It is what is on the inside that the Lord sees and that the Lord thinks is precious. It is that spirit of man, that inward man, that is precious in the sight of God. And then we want to look at some precious promises given to us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, there are great and precious promises given to us in the Word of God. The promise of eternal life, the promise of heaven, the promise of the salvation from our sin. All of these things are great and precious, exceeding great and precious promises the Lord has given us. These are promises through which we partake of the divine nature. And then the result of accepting his promises, we begin to add these Christian virtues. We begin to grow in these Christian graces. And as we continue in verse 10, we will never stumble if we continue in these things. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. If we continue to grow in grace, we continue to grow in the knowledge and in the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, we're never going to stumble. We will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We will make our calling and election sure. We're not going to stumble. Verse 11, it says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the great and exceeding and precious promise is that if we are faithful to God, if we grow in our grace and in our knowledge and we grow in the Word of God, we're going to not stumble, and we're going to find heaven as our eternal home. If you lack these things, though, you're blind and have forgotten your former cleansing. Again, as it says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Today you can be purged from your sins. You know, sin, we saw the precious blood of Christ was given to take away our sins, to redeem us, to buy us back from bondage to sin. Christ gave his blood upon the cross, his precious blood. He laid down his precious life for you and me. We urge you today, if you're here and you're not a child of God, we urge you to accept Christ, to believe that he is, to believe he is the Son of God. Confess your belief, repent of your sins, be baptized to have your sins washed away, and live a life faithfully dedicated to him. If you're here today and you have done that but haven't been living faithful, we urge you to repent and come back. His blood is still precious. His blood will still bring you salvation. It will still cleanse you from your sins if you come back to him. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, let us know. As together we stand and sing.